Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show. Want to take a quick second to interrupt the episode and let you guys know that we are partnered with Louis Wickett of Key Mortgage Group. Guys, I don't know anything. I mean, I don't know anything about buying a home. All right, I've never done it. I'm 25 years old and you need someone who's going to educate you on the process. Okay. Louis literally helped Kevin just buy a home. Kevin just purchased a home in Iowa City. He used this is a real relationship. This isn't just some phony, like read an ad, get paid type of thing. Louis is seriously helpful. He helped Kevin. He can help you. Let me read a couple reviews of Louis. Jacob said, as a realtor, it is important to me to be able to have a relationship with lenders that are honest, hardworking, and trustworthy. Louis went above and beyond for my clients, myself, and the new homeowners. Couldn't be happier with the way he educated them throughout the process and the way it made it simplistic. I highly recommend Louis to anyone looking for a mortgage lender. That's just one. Chris said, working with Louis was nothing but a positive experience. He went out of his way to introduce himself to me on a holiday weekend, knowing that I was only in town for a short time. He made the whole loan process effortless on our part. I would definitely recommend him to anyone. Now, doesn't that sound like some guy that you would want to work with? All right, some guy that we recommend, that we have talked to, that we know is going to help you get the process done. And like I said before in these ads, I'm pretty sure that mortgage rates are at an all-time low. So if you're in that process right now or you need some help, you need some information, contact Louis. Again, we've set up a private email just for our listeners of the Wash Up Walk-Ons. Contact him at hawks@gohomeside.com, or you can just search Louis Wickett and find him online. Now back to the show.
Episode 144 of the Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast. Kevin and I break down all things football from the first official weekend of the football year. College got kicked off. Iowa State's doing Iowa State things. NFL starts today or yesterday as you listen to this. And Kevin and I are just excited. You're going to be able to hear it in this podcast. Let's have a day. Let's have a week, y'all. Let's go. Welcome back into WUW 69.9, The Walk-On. That was so stupid.
All right, can we start the episode over?
No, I tried. I tried to. Kevin had a really great like radio intro before we got on the before we got on the hot mic, and I really wanted to try it out. But episode 144 of the Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast. It's just me and Kevin today. Drake is, as some of you follow on Twitter, of which Drake no longer has, because the guy just, I mean,
probably for the best.
It might be for the best. I mean, Drake doesn't, he's got his own. I'm not defending anything, but I do want to say for those of you who like were messaging me and like wanting me to like put out a like some PSA about Drake or the Wash Up Walk, like Kluver, are you gonna fire Drake? Are you gonna kick him off the podcast? Guys, I'm not his fucking boss, okay? Like, yes, he is associated with me. You guys, I mean, I had one guy, Kevin, come at me like, Tyler Kluver and Kevin Ward's silence is deafening on Drake Kulik and him being in, like, all this stuff. And I was like, Jesus, dude. Like, this is really where we're at. Like, the 2020.
Dude, that's why you got to mute your notifications.
I can't, though, man. Like, I just can't. Like, but anyway. So for those of you who follow, Drake's going to take a little breather. It might be a all-time breather. I don't know. But we are freaking back, baby.
NFL is back, baby. College football is almost in full swing.
It's basically back.
Football's back.
Yeah, I mean, Iowa State, they're doing Iowa State things, losing to Louisiana.
Yeah, Iowa State's losing opening home openers.
It's what they –
I mean, it's – football is back to normal. The earth is healing.
We are healing.
The earth is healing.
And, man, there's three really good things to talk about. First, we have college football that truthfully kind of kicked off yesterday, September 12th. We have NFL football, which technically kicked off with the Chiefs on Thursday night, which they look insane still, by the way. Who beats them this year? We'll get into it, but – but the NFL officially kicks off today. I'm repping our boy.
It was Mafia by six today, people. By six.
Multiple boys. We got Micah. We got Ike. For a while, Easley was riding with it. We got Epi on them now.
Those Mafia is Hawkeye heavy.
It really is. It's like Iowa City East, baby. We're rolling, and I'm ecstatic. I can see Kevin.
I'm here for it.
Yeah, we're here.
It does feel a little empty without the Big Ten back, but you know what?
And that's our third thing that we're going to talk about.
Football is back. I didn't know how I was going to feel yesterday. You know, 2 weeks ago, you know, there were some teams playing, just like some minor games here and there. And, you know, it feels like weird that we're not playing. And then yesterday I wasn't sure, like, am I going to feel like upset that the Big Ten's not playing, but
right.
I found myself just able to enjoy college football.
And there was a clear gap. It felt like there was a couple guys, you know, you go to a party, there's 25, 30 people invited, you have a party, most of the time 25, 30 people come, and it felt like, it was half empty. You know, there's like 15, there's like 15 or 20 people there.
That's still a decent party, right?
It's still an all right party. All right, it's all the same.
Yeah, it's just not a rager.
The Big Ten, and we're going to start here before we actually get into some stuff. The Big Ten yesterday, I guess, had a meeting, a medical meeting that went well. This is the report. The doctors of the Big Ten, and good for those guys because I'm sure they make all the money, they had a meeting where they presented to the presidents of the Big Ten. I don't know. Here is the medical information of if it is safe to play or not, yada, yada. It went well, was the report. So now Sunday today, they are meeting again to start talking about timeline, to start talking about kind of logistics,
when we would start playing, if we would be able to be eligible for kind of just jump in and start the swing of things back with the rest of college football. There are positive things coming from the Big Ten. Kevin, what do you think?
You know, we've been hearing this rumor stuff on Twitter for like the past 2 weeks, it feels like, since the beginning of September.
Yeah.
About how like the Big Ten is looking at trying to reverse course for the fall. And, you know, there's some really crazy
corroborated, C-O-R-R-O.
You know what I'm trying to say. Right. I just can't say it. Claims out there. And it's like, oh, that'd be cool.
It gives you a lot of hope.
Then like 2 days later, you find out someone who's like actually a reputable source is like, yeah, no, there's no evidence behind that whatsoever. But now looking like we're trying to, I mean, it'd be interesting to see if we could actually somehow squeeze a season in to be eligible for like the postseason.
Right. And here's what I'm worried about, because we've been fucking around. We're going to play. We're not going to play. All right. Season's over. It's done deal. Oh, wait, hold on. First of all, if Kevin Warren comes back and somehow agrees and is like a part, because there's no way he's not part of this decision now. He's locked in. He is the guy. Obviously, it's the right thing to do, but I mean, it's just the biggest like eat crow, shit on your face kind of situation for him.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially like yesterday and when what's going to happen again next week, or I think the SEC doesn't start playing till the 26th of September. But, you know, when you have three Power Five conferences playing and some like the Conference USA, the Sun Belt, they're all playing too. And, you know, kids aren't getting sick. Everyone's just going to be looking at the Big Ten commissioner like, hey, thanks for that one, bro. We had to cut like half the sports across the entire freaking league, but cool.
Yeah. Enjoy your son's games down in Mississippi. But it's the right thing to do. I think what I'm concerned about now is I know that Iowa has not been practicing. I mean, what's the point, right? Like, we're not going back. We're not playing
practicing
football.
For what? Right. Yeah.
What do you think is the I saw something from Barry Alvarez that said, hey, we can have our team ready in 3 weeks. Give us 3 weeks, 21 days, and we'll be able to play a football game. Now, remember, they did
start.
I don't know,
man, because I've been seeing guys like on vacation, guys that aren't even on campus right now.
Right, which is the
you're going to need at least a couple weeks just in the weight room before you even think about getting on the field.
They've been in the weight room. They've been in the weight room. Yep, so okay. They have been lifting, and they've been lifting hard. They've been, like almost summer training. They've been doing GPP stuff is what I hear.
And they got what, like a week of camp?
A week of like of? Camp, which was like
before
half
they canceled.
Camp. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So
3 weeks is a stretch then. I mean, it'd be sloppy football, but you could probably do it.
Sloppy.
I'm just looking at a calendar here.
Yeah.
If we want to get 10 games in plus have a Big Ten championship, I mean, in time to be able to play like a team in the college football playoff, they pretty much have to start that first weekend of October, which I don't think
the third
possible. Yeah.
You think they have to start the third? Because I've been seeing the 10th.
Right. But I mean, you just count out the weeks. You started the 10th. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 weeks, then you'd have like the Big Ten championship the first weekend of
December. Shit.
I mean, you could push it back another week and you can be 8 games in and have the Big Ten championship the second weekend of December and
I think
2 weeks off before the college football playoff.
I think that might be the best option. I think you need 8 games. I don't know what the rule is or what the NCAA.
I don't know. Does the college football playoff committee vote for a team that's only played 8 games? You better be undefeated.
Oh, you have to be undefeated. I mean, the nice.
I mean, I guess if you were in the Big Ten championship, you'd have 9. But.
Right, and I guess the one thing is, you're looking at all. It's all Big Ten games, so it. You know, you're not losing. Like you would be not considering the games that didn't happen would be like these non-conference games that people always are like, well, it was non-conference. Like, I don't know. I worry about the guys, but at the same time, like sloppy football.
There's a lot of sloppy football.
What I saw yesterday was not clean. I'll tell you that.
No. No, especially if you were watching 2 hours west of here.
What are we talking about? Which game?
So I live in Iowa City. 2 hours west is around the Des Moines.
Oh, area, of here.
Team in the state of Iowa likes to play.
Yeah, no, Iowa State was not good, my friend. Not good.
You just hate to see it.
You know, Brock Purdy, yeah. Top five quarterback on the draft board, first round potential, best quarterback, best.
My brother was telling me that yesterday. He was supposed to be like number five off like the quarterback off the board.
Mel Kiper's list. He's number five on the big board right now.
Mel Kiper with that pick loses all credibility.
Okay, well, here's what I'll say. He's a good quarterback.
An average quarterback.
I'm not the guy that goes on Twitter and is all of a sudden like, because you and I know it's one game. It's fucking 2020 Corona, COVID Chronicles. It's a weird year. So, I mean, we could see, probably not because Clemson's just so heavily stacked, but you could see Trevor Lawrence come out and look like crap in week one too. Like, these guys have gone through a really weird off season of uncertainty.
Right. No, I'm not judging him based off of last game more so than I am. Like, what was Mel Kiper looking at, like, the last 2 years that said, okay, this guy's a top five quarterback?
I actually do think he played really well last year. The Iowa game, again, was such a, you know, you had the rain delay, the conditions. It was kind of a weird, like, outlier game for everybody. Except for Keith Duncan, just absolute legend.
Grows a winner.
If you look at the rest of what he did in the Big 12 last year, it was impressive. But
when you get to play past skeleton, you don't have to worry
right. You're playing 7-on-7. When you play 7-on-7, you have a lot of good stats. And he also had Hakeem Butler. Or did he graduate before then? Was Hakeem Butler still at Iowa State last year?
Last year was 18. Yeah.
Okay, so he didn't.
He played with Hakeem. No, that would have been his first year, I think.
Okay, well, he's had some guys around him that have made him look good. You know, he had Montgomery, who was just a stud running back. So when you have a more complete offense, the individual guys are going to
look better. Yeah, absolutely.
They're going to benefit from that. So I agree, though. I don't know about, he's not big. You know, he's not a big guy. He's just,
I don't think he has that strong of an arm.
I don't know what other people say.
I think he's, you know, an average quarterback.
There are some other people, a lot of Iowa State, who knows, they might say this every year. I saw a lot of like, this could be our best team yet, like our best team ever. The freaking you retweeted it and just.
I don't know how you say that when you have a brand new offensive line, Nick.
You're preaching to the choir, but you retweeted the Bears tweet about them potentially being like a sleeper pick for the college football playoff.
Oh my god, that was so funny. I mean, at least the other guys on the show laughed at him.
Yeah, no, it's. A sleeper pick.
Bear is awful for anyone who watches College Game Day. Bear is awful. Fade Bear's picks.
Yeah, don't.
I remember I was telling you last week before the BYU Navy game, and I had Navy to finish out the parlay, and then Bear took Navy 15 minutes before kickoff. And I'm like, I'm fucked. I'm done. I'm done.
Yeah, you knew you were screwed.
And we look what happened. Now, Bear's trash. I don't know why they give him FaceTime on TV.
Yeah, they've tried to add like this like betting component into their show, and it's somewhat entertaining, I guess. I don't know.
Go to the nearest casino, choose the guy throwing craps, and let him like decide who's gonna pick the games. He'd probably have just as bad good record.
Flip a coin. The sleeper pick to win the Big 12, maybe? I don't know. Texas is good, Oklahoma's good. Like
I never want to say Texas is back, but I think Texas is going to have a pretty good squad this year.
I don't know. You know, to be back to where they were before is a real big climb. And
yeah, I mean, like Vince Young era, like always in the the potentially national title discussion.
Yeah.
I don't think they're quite there yet, but
Sam Ellinger.
I think they can give Oklahoma a run for the money.
Ellinger is the real deal.
Yeah, he's fun to watch.
But yeah, so I don't know. Iowa State, and I'll give credit to Louisiana. They got some dudes. They got some dudes now.
They do. Yeah, I mean, they got a good squad.
My dad's favorite saying is, you know, you got 11. It's 11 versus 11 out there. We're playing. Yeah, everyone's got 18 to 22 year old kids. It's the same amount of people. You go out there.
I mean, Coach Parker would always say all the time, like, "Hey, those guys are on scholarship too.
Yeah,
those coaches make some cash too. Like,
they're eating training tables.
This is big time football. But yeah, no, they had a solid squad. I think Louisiana would be all right this year in the Sun Belt.
Right, in their conference.
You know, for the number 23 team, Heisman candidate, quarterback. This is Iowa State's year team to lose to them by, what was it, 20?
Like it ended up being 37.
It was like 17, I think, actually.
31-14,
I think.
Yep. Touchdown at the end. So it was a little, yeah. But, you know, give them credit. They not that Iowa State's offense played great, but the defense for Louisiana was, they were solid. They tackled well. They had a ton of great pass breakups. They did a lot of really good things really well. And that's what you have to do when you play good, solid football, at least more solid than Iowa State.
Hey, guys. Yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify, one of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline, wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Wash Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Wash Up Walk-Ons.
And so, yeah, Iowa State was not exactly, you know, the Iowa State fans were, all I saw on Twitter was everybody jumped on and started to try and
just trash Iowa because they're not even playing.
Well, just justify why Iowa State lost. Like, oh, Louisiana is a much better team than people are giving them credit for. Oh, Matt Campbell. Iowa State always starts slow, which, by the way, Iowa State's record in September is piss poor. It's not good.
That's also kind of true, but maybe at, you know, year 4 or 5 in the program, you should probably start, you know, trying to play a little bit better in September.
You got to get over that. Here's something that I brought up. There's one of the local radio guys here in Des Moines tweeted about it, yada yada. Obviously, there was very limited fans at the Iowa State game. There was, I think it was family and friends, essentially. I think they let in, like, maybe 300 people. Not even, I don't think. Do you think that, because, I mean, home field advantage, that's a real thing. And
yeah,
do you think that, to some extent, not having a home field advantage disproportionately affects teams? Here's what I'm saying. In my opinion, Iowa State is a hype team. Okay, you know, every year the Hawks play them, they're gonna bring that hype. It's all this. It's that fake hype juice that Gervais lives on, right? It's that fake juice. And
what he uses to feed his internet too. That's why I'm on the phone now.
Yeah. He's got no internet juice and no real juice. I feel like Iowa State, it's not the only thing. They are a good team sometimes. They do have good players. This is one of the 100 factors that plays into a game. I think that Iowa State really thrives off of that. Like when they have a good play against Iowa and we're playing the Cy-Hawk game, they start to gain a little momentum here, a little momentum there. Bang, bang, bang. They start feeling that. They almost start to play
above the front run.
Yeah, they play above their level. Like they're, you know, I think Iowa, the way that, you know, kind of the style of football that Iowa plays, and at least when we were there, the kind of mindset that we brought to the offseason and training and stuff, I think Iowa's a team that's built to play with no fans. Screw it.
More so than others, sure, but, you know, I'm not going to lie. Like, when you're going warming up at, like, Purdue in 2014, there's, you know, 2,000 Iowa fans there and 10,000 Purdue fans there. It's like, all right, yeah, it's a little dead, you know. You don't.
I agree.
Because it's a real thing, that feeling the energy in the stadium, that's a real thing. And you don't feel as hyped up for that as when you do when you're kicking off versus Wisconsin and Kinnick, you know what I mean?
That's true.
So, I mean, I think that's a real thing for every team, but
I
get what you're saying.
What I'm getting at is
it affects some teams more than others.
They lose, you know, you lose that. Everybody's going to lose that kind of home. I don't think where the games are played this year are going to matter as much, maybe. Like, you kind of lose that home field advantage.
A little bit. I mean, with crowd noise and feeding off the energy, yes. But, I mean, you got to imagine traveling still takes it out of you a little bit.
Yeah.
So, there's still that.
For sure.
But, yeah, absolutely, home field advantage isn't going to be what it normally is this season.
Any other happening?
You see, Florida State had like 20,000 people.
I saw that, and that looked it looked fine. Like, it looked fun. People were enjoying themselves until they got beat by Georgia Tech, who isn't good.
Florida State isn't good either, though.
They're both bad, man.
They haven't been good since Famous Jameis.
Stealing freaking crab legs out of restaurants.
We strong.
We strong, man. I'm gonna eat this dub. Jameis is an interesting character, dude.
He sure is, yeah.
So any other happenings other than that game that you know that caught your eye in college football yesterday? I saw Notre Dame play Duke.
We had our first overtime game with Texas State versus UTSA. It was a good game.
Was it? I didn't see any of that.
Yeah, we went to overtime. So Texas State scored a touchdown with like a minute and 13 to tie it up.
Ooh.
And they missed the extra point.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so they would go to overtime. I think they
– tell me they won.
They trade field goals in the first overtime. And then the second overtime, the Texas State kicker misses a 24-yard field goal.
Oh, God.
And then UTSA kicks the field goal to win it. Like, ooh.
Dude, fuck specialists, rough, right?
Rough day to be the kicker.
I thought that Louisiana, they were going to they were going to excommunicate their kicker from the team. And because if they would have lost, it was going to be a close game, and he just left 6 points, easy points, just out there.
Right, one like 27-yarder, one like 34-yarder.
So close, dude. Easy kicks.
Like you get pissed off at your high school kicker for missing.
I legitimately, later on in my career, potentially could have made those kicks, and I was the snapper.
I imagine you got a decent amount of kicking practice.
I got really good at drop kicks, too. I didn't even need, like, someone to hold it. Yeah, I mean, there wasn't any, again, early in the season, even if football was what it normally was, you're not getting a ton. I mean, even though Iowa State would have happened, you would have had some rivalry games happening this week potentially, but not a lot of great football all the way across.
It was not a great slate of games. Next week's honestly not going to be much better.
Right.
You know, Clemson beat the shit out of Wake Forest. Did not cover the spread, though, which I thought was interesting. I think they let up a little bit in the fourth quarter.
That is interesting.
Didn't take any action on the Saturday games because like I said, it's a terrible slate. I just didn't have any good feeling. It's really hard to pick early season.
It's
games,
so hard to pick.
You're really guessing kind of what the team did at the end of last year, and
you just
how
have
many players that came
40
back.
40-point spreads. Like, what are you supposed to do? It's like
– that too, you're right. It's like, okay, well, they're going to be up 38 in the fourth quarter.
Right.
How good are their second stringers or whatever?
You know, I think it's a good rule of thumb to
just stay away from those
games. Start betting college football in a normal year about week four.
Yeah, because then you get like a feel for the teams, right, and you kind of get like a, you know, a feel for the 2020 team versus the 2019. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So once league play starts and once you get a good feel for these teams, how they play, how they like to play, that's when you start feeling more comfortable.
It'll be fun to watch.
But we're just riding the NFL. Just riding the NFL today. We're gonna start it off with Bills Mafia.
Just gonna say
probably it just kicked off.
It brings us to we had a little delay where Kevin cut out for a second. So now it is 12:05 as I speak. The games have kicked. I've got the ESPN ticker up here. We've got time ticking off. Early games. And you guys, these games will be over when you listen to this tomorrow, but kicking off today. Hopefully you guys get to catch a little bit of these on Sunday. You've got the Jets and the Bills, hoping that the boys out in Buffalo just take care of the Jets because they are really like the armpit of the NFL. The Colts Jaguars, a slightly intriguing game just because we've got Phillip Rivers at the helm of the Colts.
And Colts got some offensive linemen out too.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Mitch Trubisky, who was picked ahead of Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, takes on the Lions.
Gets the start over Big Dick Nick, who will probably take the start of the, you know, maybe three quarters away from the season through the playoffs.
I was just gonna say. You've got the Seahawks and the Falcons, the Browns and the Ravens. So there's some matchups here. Packers Vikes to start the season, which is a big Midwest matchup. A lot of fans of those two teams inside Hawkeye Nation. I know that. Teddy Bridgewater leads the Panthers out against the Las Vegas Raiders.
I think he'll do well there.
I think he will as well. I don't think
I think he needs some more targets on for receivers.
I was just going to say, I don't think they're going to be good, but I think he'll be okay.
Yeah.
So exciting action happening. I think we can all say one thing, and that's just we're happy that football's back. I woke up today. Lauren and I took a walk outside. The sun was shining after a week straight of just
a week straight of rain. It was the shittiest week ever.
I mean, it was actually raining. Like, it didn't stop for like more than 2 hours for the entire week last week. And it just, you know, the smell of the fall air. And we took, you know, it just was, it's good, man. It's good. I ran 15 miles yesterday, so my legs and hips and knees are just shot and ready to lay on the couch all day. It's just exciting, man. And then tomorrow, so this is the best part about football season. Football season starts Sunday, bang, whole slate of games. Monday night, you got games. A break on Tuesday, Wednesday. You know, you're going through the work week. Thursday night.
I mean, it's a damn shame that the Matt canceled their season two, because that one Tuesday, Wednesday action, it was
lit, dude.
That got us through the whole week, man. Yeah. It got us through the whole week.
Then you're back to Thursday night football. It kicks off the whole new week. Friday, there's some random college game or two. And then Saturday, college.
Or you can go watch high school football.
True. And oh, God, it's just every night of the week. And
Mid-October, once Maxion starts up and you have football 7 days a week on a normal year, that's what America's all about.
It's really, the gears are going to be running smooth. The stock market will go back up. You know, everything's going to be great.
And we're going to be hitting parlays, and we're going to be burning down Riverside.
Yeah, Riverside's going to burn to the ground. Kevin's got his ticket. Is that your NFL ticket for today?
This is the NFL ticket.
Even though the games will – you know, most, maybe you have some Monday night picks, but even though the games will be over at this point when the fans listen, you want to hand those out?
Yeah. I said them on the last podcast, but we got today, we got the Bills -6 versus the Jets.
I like
the Cowboys -2.5 versus the Rams tonight. And then hopefully when you're listening to this tomorrow, we're 2 of 3 and we can hedge the Titans -2 versus the Broncos.
Yeah. See, I like the Titans,
yeah.
Sorry, Joes. I know you're starting, and I hope you do great. But just make sure you really set your core when you tackle Derrick Henry, because son of a bitch is tough.
Do some extra neck curls tonight.
Yeah. I'm excited. I like all those picks, actually. Drake liked Denver to cover, but
he did. He's just, I know exactly. He's talking about Mike Lombardi. He does a show on the.
Yeah, he's on Pat a lot. He's on Pat's show a lot.
And, yeah, he does a show on
the Sports Betting Network I listen to all the time.
Nice.
He's good, but I just disagree with that one.
Well, Drake's like, well, he went 68% last year, and I was like, yeah, 2 out of 3. So there you go.
I mean, but that's like really good in the NFL.
No, that's incredible. Yeah, and the NFL's impossible. You never find lines that are over 9 points.
Yeah, I think it's the hardest sport to bet.
Yeah, but it's gonna be fun. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed your weekend. Clearly, you can hear the joy and the uppity.
Feeling giddy, man, because football is back.
It's back. And
and fantasy is back. And I hope you guys all have a great day in fantasy. If you're playing the daily leagues and FanDuel or DraftKings, I hope you win all the monies.
All of them. That's it.
That's it. It ain't Hawks by a million, but football by a million.
Hawks by a million in the sense that all of you Hawks out there listening, we hope you win today by a million. All right? Go fucking have one. That's it. Episode 144. Kevin and Tyler signing off.
I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.